I mean, I knew Molly more or less all my life.
Yes.
Because my mother was from Bishop Stainton. She was a sister to Molly's father.
Right. Where did your mum live?
Kennedy Street.
Oh, right.
That's where she was born.
Right.
My grandmother had a little shop there. Cottage, double frontage. When you went in the front door, the right hand room was a shop.
Was it?
Like a village shop.
What did it sell then?
Groceries.
Groceries.
Yeah, right. Etc.
And was that going up on the left?
On the left, nearly yeah. up at, nearly yeah. nearly up to the pub.
Up to the pub, I know where.
Yeah, on the other side.
And somebody said to me that they'd added an extra layer onto the cottages. So originally they were just ground, like a bungalow.
I wouldn't have thought that, because my mother was one of six and they were all born there.
Right.
Three boys, Peter, Paul and Philip. Philip was Molly's father. And then three girls, Alice, Lois, my mother, and Cherry.
Right.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yes, yeah, so my mother was the fifth child in a family of six.
Mm. How do you spell Cherry?
Cherry?
Cherry.
Cherry.
Cherry. Cherry. Yeah.
Right. And which one was your mother?
Lois, the middle one of the three girls.
And they were all born in Clannage Street?
Yes, to the best of my knowledge. Before my dad.
Hey, no, that's lovely.
But I have been over there as a small boy with my mother and helped my grandmother weigh up sugar and tea in little bags because it used to be delivered bulk.
Right.
Sack of sugar,
yes.
You know.
Yes.
Yeah. When I was a small boy,
Right.
Yeah.
So did you know Sheila Robbins?
No.
No?
No.
Sheila Robbins.
I don't know what
Sheila,
her maiden name was.
No, I don't either.
Because she's 88, yeah,
she's
isn't she?
Something like that, yes.
Well, probably Molly would have known her then,
right? She was friends with Molly.
Dorrit know her. You know, because Dorrit went over there a lot, didn't she? Dorrit, Dorrit.
Yes.
Dorrit might have known her, mightn't she, Robert?
Well, I introduced them at the coffee morning.
Oh, so she did.
But
know.
Sheila came and she didn't feel right and she couldn't be dealing with all the people around her. And she didn't stay.
Didn't stay, oh, no.
And she hardly even looked at the stuff about Molly. And she'd come in with her great grandchild as well. And the child was, wanting to go.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So Sheila didn't stay, unfortunately. But so I didn't have the chance to introduce you.
Yes, but she didn't know.
No.
My mother lived there until she left school. Bishop Stainton was the only school she went to.
Right.
I think. And she first went to school when she was 3 and a half.
Mm.
Her big brother took her, Peter. He was married in Ashburton. He and his wife went to Canada the next day and never seen him since.
Blimey.
Yeah. Mm. My mother used to write to him and he'd write back to her that. And because I think he, was a good big brother to my mother, from the little bit I have learned, our mother have talked about, long time ago. And she used to go mornings, and of course, the school was in the village and she lived in the village, so she went home to lunch, but didn't go back in the afternoon. I think she slept. Slept all the blessed afternoon, I would think.
Yeah.
But Molly's, because Robert used to, when they lived at Siegfried, the farm, you see where his mother was. Uncle Philip, Molly's
Philip.
He used to go out quite often and catch a bus and go out to see you at Siegfried, didn't he, Robert? But Molly never went.
No.
Nor her mother.
I can't ever remember Auntie Grace coming to the farm where I was born. Uncle Philip always came on his own.
Then Molly never went, did she? Do you remember Molly going out there?
No. Well, I don't know about Molly.
No,
I
don't
can't,
know, no.
I can't be sure about that.
You were born where, Robert?
Me?
Where? Yes.
Lower Siegford Farm, Beckington, which is in Islington Parish.
So did you used to go over from there to Bishop Stainton to play with Molly?
No.
No?
No.
No.
I always had plenty to do on the farm.
Well, yes, I suppose so.
My father. You know, I don't think she had a very fair girl's life, really, for what I know about it. Mm. And then, of course, when she went to Timoth Grammar, and while she was there, she had diphtheria, when that was there was an epidemic.
Mm.
I will remember about that. But my grandmother still lived in the cottage with the shop until she was no longer fit to do so. And then Molly's father, my Uncle Philip, came to see my mother and said, would she take mother, because we had a farmhouse, several bedrooms, and look after her. Oh yes, my mother would do that. She was that sort of a person. She could handle that situation.
Yeah.
I think really she could have been a nurse, you know, but that type.
Yeah. No opportunities,
weren't there? Yeah. I said, well, you know, that was then, wasn't it?
That's right.
And Granny died in our farmhouse. I remember that well.
Mm.
And she had a sitting room in the end of the house as a bed sit, like, you know. And I used to go down, she used to talk to me.
Oh,
Granny.
What was Granny called, Robert? What were your grandparents' names?
Coombe.
Yes.
Who
and who?
Well, Daniel.
Yes.
And Granny to me. could have been Mary. But their grave is in the churchyard a
is
bit.
It? Oh,
yes.
Okay, I'll go and have a look.
If you go in the churchyard gate, instead of going straight on into the church, go up around the left hand side.
Mm-hmm.
When you get part way up, there's a door that goes in, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Just up into the churchyard on the left, opposite that door, is where the double grave is, my grandparents. My grandfather died the year I was born. Never knew him.
Mm.
And Granny died in 1946. I remember that well. I would have been 14.
Mm.
Long time ago. Yeah.
I was born in 1946.
We've been married 62 years. You're catching me.
I can't believe it, the time's gone.
Mm.
So where did your grandparents come from originally? Were they always there in the village?
Well, possibly Granny was, because she lived there. She had the cottage for the shop.
Yeah.
I don't really know, but they were in Dawlish, or Dawlish Warren, is it Dawlish?
Just Dawlish, yeah. Just Dawlish.
Dawlish.
Right. Yeah.
And I've heard a little bit, you know, said about Dawlish now and again.
Didn't they have a mill there?
Hmm.
They had the mill there to do with
no,
that.
No, not in Dawlish.
Oh, I thought not your grandfather?
Oh, he might have.
Yes, he did.
He was a miller.
I think he
miller.
Did.
I think he was a miller.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. It was quite a profession in those days because the feedstuffs for all the local farmers would have been produced locally. When you went in the cottage at Clandidge Street and walked down through the passage, the path went straight in through the middle of the garden. When you got down the other end, there was a toilet over in the left-hand corner, as there would be in those days. And the right-hand corner was a bakehouse where they used to bake bread.
Yes.
And apparently it's still there.
Oh.
Because it stopped use in my grandmother's time. I think my grandmother must have owned the property. She was quite some woman. And grandfather used to go out delivering bread with a pony and trap. Yes, and he used to go all up around Luton and
play. Was it a pony or a donkey? I heard pony. A donkey, a pony. I didn't think it was a donkey either.
No, donkey wouldn't do that.
No. Well, I
thought.
Yes.
No, I think it was a pony.
Yeah.
A tram. And as you know, in those days, there were real poor people, not like we call them poor now. If you can't be poor now, because you walk in the road, old yander, they'll give you a quid. You know, it's a very different life now. And when he used to call it a cottage, might be a farm worker's cottage or something like that, with bread, there were times when they couldn't afford to pay. So he used to give them the bloody bread. Of course, when he got home, he hadn't got enough money. It turned out to be that he wasn't bringing home enough money to buy next week's flour.
Oh, gosh.
So my grandmother went down the garden path, locked the bakehouse door, and that was the end of that. She stopped him from going. Well, she would be that powerful woman, you know. That was the end of the bakehouse. But which was a pity, really, because, what could he do? I mean, they hadn't got any money. They couldn't pay him. And I suppose he wasn't the kind of bloke that would keep him hungry for the sake of a loaf of bread. Because that was the money that I had to buy next week's flour. And it didn't work, did it? Pity. Really, because that was sad. My mother, the three boys, Peter, Paul and Philip, are all P-coom. Peter worked in a outfitter shop in Timnath, I think.
Right.
From what I've heard. That's Peter. But he developed something wrong with his health and his doctor advised him to take a job outdoors. So he went to work on a farm somewhere, not locally, away from Bishop Staten, I think. And then when he got married, he went to Canada the next day on the boat, arranged the wedding to suit the boat, I think. never came back, of course. But thereby lies another story, not about Molly, about the eldest son.
Well, I'd like to know about them all, really. Anything you can remember.
I know a little bit. I've been racking my brains to think about Molly, because Molly did very little in her life.
Yeah.
There isn't anything to remember, really. Anyhow, when the eldest son was born, my grandfather went to the registry office. I imagine the same as you'd have to do now.
Yes.
to register the birth of his son. And so the registrar did the, during the filling out the form, and then he said, oh, name. So grandfather said, Peter. Oh, Peter. Well, he said, that's what Mrs. said. So anyway, the registrar put his pen down and gave him a lecture about how his eldest son should be called after him.
Gosh.
And change his mind for him. So he was registered as Peter. Always called Peter, but he was registered as Daniel after his father.
Mm.
But I've never heard him called Daniel.
The power of
he's in a spot of bother when he got home with a bit of paper.
I bet he was.
Auntie so. Grace wasn't one for entertaining a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I think Molly's illness had a big effect on them. Because at one stage they weren't expecting her to live, you see. You know what the diphtheria thing was like? It was dreadful. Okay.
She was only young then, wasn't she, when she had that?
Yeah,
you know, but
she could have been 13 or 14, be less than 16, because she would have left at 16 in grammar school in those days.
And 16, was it?
Yes.
Okay.
I failed the 11 plus. I went to school at Ilsington.
Yes.
Do you know Ilsington?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, you can see the parish from here. Yeah. You see Hay Tor
Rock. Ilsington, because a lot of people say, then they don't know what you're talking about.
All right.
You can see Hay Tor Rock.
Yes.
Well, that's Ilsington Parish.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I was born down in the valley from
that's
there.
The only reason I know it is because we go up to Dartmoor that way.
Oh, yeah,
That's why you know it.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, we go through it, you know. It's the church there. So,
And the other one, it was a girl, there were two of us took 11 plus, only two from that school, and they both failed. Well, I know why I failed. The mathematics side of it was very straightforward.
Mm.
I mean, you can't, there's no such thing as 2 equal 1, is there? I mean, you can add it up or take it away or multiply it or do whatever you've got to do. But that was straightforward. But then we had to write an essay on something I'd never heard of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at 11 years of age, you haven't got that sort of a mind. Our eldest daughter could write forever about any silly damn thing. But unless I knew about it, I wouldn't make it up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Jean failed as well. And I've only seen her, we both left that year. Jean went to secondary modern at Newton Abbott.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a private school for boys in Ashburton.
All right.
Which was a relic of the old Ashburton Grammar School. There used to be a grammar school at Ashburton, and they closed it, which made the headmaster redundant, and he bought this big house and created his own boys' school.
Mm.
And my elder brother went there before me, and I went there. It was quite good, really, because it had a grammar school background attached to it, you see.
Can you remember anything about Paul?
Paul? Yes. He became a lawyer in Scunthorpe.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see a lot of him, but he came down to the farm with his family, like, because he had a postcard to drive. And my father didn't have a car at that time. Not because he particularly didn't want one. Early on in his career, he had neuritis or something in his hands he couldn't drive.
Mm.
And there was a car down in the shed that I used to play in as a small boy. that father had given up driving, you know. Yeah. But he did drive later in life, but not very well, I'm afraid.
And so Paul went off to Scunthorpe. He married and had children?
Yeah, yes. I know he had a son.
He had four children, didn't he? That was Cherry, sorry. Paul and Jerry, was it? Was that Cherry's wife?
Paul's no, wife? Was the daughter.
No.
Sister.
No. Yes, but I thought that...
No.
What was Paul's wife?
Doesn't matter. I'm thinking of another
We're talking about Uncle Paul.
Yeah. Oh, Uncle
Paul. Now, what about Uncle Philip?
Oh.
Well, what about Uncle Philip? Molly's, this is the one we want to know. Molly's father.
He went to Canada on the same boat as his married brother.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh.
He had trained in Tynemouth as a plumber and heating engineer. And when he went to Canada, he worked in the Canadian Pacific Railway workshops. But that was 1912. Of course, then came the war, and he went in the Canadian Army. Now, I don't know if he volunteered. He was hard enough, so he was a real hard man, you know. Man and a half, than I always thought. And of course he came back to this country to go to France with the Canadian Army, didn't he? And he came home from France to England three times wounded during the wars, twice walking and once on a stretcher. But he survived it. Because then he met Auntie Grace, I suppose, while she was here. She lives down Torquay Way, I think. You've heard that one? Yeah, because I had an aunt who lived at Maidencombe. Do you know Maidencombe? That's where my father was born. And they went to school together in down Tor or Torquay or somewhere. Right. Or a girls' school, I think. Now, I think that must have been a private school, because my grandparents in Maidencombe sent what became my Auntie Rose to a private school, because he was a tenant in the farm, and he bought the farm, and one of the ways of earning money was to open tea gardens, so he opened the Verna. If you go to Maidencombe and go down the steep hill towards the beach, when you get in the bottom of the steep, and you're a sharp right hand corner, and there's a big farmhouse on the right, that was my grandfather's.
The tea gardens you were talking about.
Yeah, the tea gardens. And of course, everything was booked by writing letters, and they sent Auntie Rose to a better school so she could write letters. That's the story I have.
Right.
In both my mother's family and my father's family, both six children, both of them had three boys and three girls.
Wow.
And mother's family was Peter, Paul and Philip, three boys born first, then three girls, Alice, Lewis and Cherry. Alice married a miller. He worked in the mills, feed mills in Northampton. He was originally from Northampton. Mother married my father from Maidencombe Farm, because when mother left school, she took a job in Maidencombe,
right,
in service, as they used to say.
Yeah.
And now, my grandmother said when mother had to leave school, it was all done on age, wasn't it? I'll go down and see Mrs. So and so, and book you in to learn dressmaking. Girls had to learn dressmaking in those days. her older sister had learned dressmaking. She was good, apparently. So Mother said, "No, no, Mother, don't you do that. I don't want to learn dressmaking." So Mother said, Grandmother was going to turn on the pressure a bit. So she said, "Mother, you can take me down there, but I assure you I won't stitch a stitch." She's very determined, my mother. Would you?
Say that again. Very strong.
Mother, no. Well, they got an okay, but
what was your father called?
Charlie.
Charlie Coish.
Yes. Mother was Lois Mary.
Lois Mary what?
Oh, Coombe. Coombe. Yeah. Where did I go to?
The stitching, and she wouldn't stitch a stitch.
Yes. Yeah. So, but she was willing to work, like, and she took a job in service. Mm. It didn't do her any harm because, she worked in this big house with a well-to-do family, and they were Norwegian.
Oh, were they?
Mm. And the lady that lived there had her mother still lived in Norway, and they decided to teach my mother Norwegian, so and then send her to Norway to look after the other lady.
Gosh.
She learnt Norwegian, and the old lady died, so she never went. So then the war came, and then in the First World War, my mother went to London to work. And she did voluntary work because, there were a hell of a lot of men came back wounded, some of them with arms shot off and all sorts of dreadful things like this. And she used to go and work in the, if you had a village hall like in Morton, it would be full of beds because there were that many casualties. And she used to go to these places where the wounded soldiers were and, make cups of tea for them. And the other thing that she did was write letters home. They dictate to her and she used to write letters home. Well, I think that was great. You imagine being a mother with got a wounded soldier 100 miles away or 200 miles away in one of these places. They couldn't afford to travel there to see them, could they, in those days? Yeah. And mother used to write, because she was quite good at that sort of thing, intelligent and all that. And she used to write letters home for wounded soldiers. Mm-hmm. And I've never forgot that. After she told me about it, because I think that was a great thing to do,
Philip, you haven't done Philip yet, and you haven't done Cherry yet.
Oh, right.
Last thing you said about Philip was he came out on the stretcher.
Trained as a plumber and heating engineer in Timoth from school leaving, apprenticeship.
Hmm. You said that bit, Robert. You got up so far as where he was brought home once on a stretcher.
When he came out of the army, I suppose, after the war, I don't know. I don't think he ever went back to Canada.
No.
He went into the building trade. Well, he would do with plumber and heating if he couldn't run a business. And when he got married to Auntie Grace, he built his house. Now, I'll tell you where the house is, because it's still there, of course. If you go from King Satan to Timoth, you come to, as you pass Bishop Satan, there's a garage on the left, and that goes in Cockhaven Lane. Mm-hmm. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. And the main road goes on down towards Timoth. And he built the house right in that corner. I think there's another one there now, because he would have built it and left quite a bit of ground with it, wouldn't he, in those days? Yes. And he built all those houses on the left-hand side down that road that are back from the road. And they're all four.
Then towards back Jack's Patch.
Mm. On the main road.
Yes, the main road.
Yes. And they all got four bedrooms, I think.
So he
sold them. I suppose he sold them, most of them, if he could, you know, because times weren't like that. Mm. And then if he couldn't sell one, he used to let it, see?
Mm-hmm.
So he had several houses around Bishop Stanton that were let, cottages, etc. I don't know
and
what.
He built some out towards, I think it's Coombe Way, Coombe Road.
Well, yes.
I don't know whether they're called Coombe because he was Coombe,
no.
Or whether it's
no,
Coombe
no,
Farm.
No, no, yeah, it was to do with the land, I think.
Yes, I thought it was too. Thank you. I'm glad you cleared that one up.
Yeah. And the one that Molly was in until she died was never sold.
No.
Built between the wars, you see. Mm. When the Second War came, Uncle Philip had, I think it was 17 men working for him, building.
Yeah.
And he had all the best local tradesmen working for him, because he used to pay a couple of coppers above the rate. Well, that was the way to get the best men. And they'd come out from Timoth to work for him, because if they're good enough, you know, 1,000 bricks a day, man, you know, he wouldn't have employed them if they didn't lay 1,000 bricks a day.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think he did it himself, but he wasn't really a bricklayer.
But he was quite a hard man, Robert, wasn't he?
Hmm?
He was quite a hard man, wasn't
oh.
he? Oh! I just bet, like, Granny was so hard, your mother was hard. I think they were all brought up by very strictly.
Well, that was
a
way of life.
Hard, then he follows on.
Uncle Philip was a hard man, yes.
Yeah,
but he spent many, many years on the parish council in Bishop Stanton. I mean, I wouldn't know anything about it because I lived up here all the time. But I know he was on the council.
And they only ever had the one child then, Molly?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And of course, because of her illness at early teenage, 13, say, I don't know, something like that, because she's a couple years older than me, she never had a job. Which was very sad, because she was quite intelligent. And of course, if she had gone to somewhere where she trained, she could have done quite well for herself. And she never had a job.
Mm.
She stayed at home. She probably did books for Uncle Philip or something.
Yes, I wondered about that.
I imagine all that.
I'd heard from Dorrit, I think, that she'd worked for Philip. That she'd looked after her parents.
But what a shame, because, she might have got married and had a family, you see. What a wasted life, really.
That was what happened then, wasn't it?
A lot of people stayed home, the last one stayed home to look after parents. And that's why they never had a life of their own.
It was the illness that did it.
Yes.
You see, and then they, of course, they wouldn't have let her out of her sight, really. I think they only had the one child.
Yes, pardon the pun, but I heard that she was Molly Coddled.
Yes. I think perhaps she was.
Wrapped in cotton wool, I think she has said, because of the illness.
I was one of the cousin that saw more of her than most, because our grandmother came to live at our house on the farm for my mother to look after her. And I used to go to Bishop Stanton every 5 weeks to collect my grandmother's pension from the post office. And I was only a primary school boy. Well, I'd catch two different buses to get to Bishop Stanton.
We did that then, didn't we?
Walk in the post office, and they knew me every 5 weeks. And they let, there was 10 shillings a week then, and I used to come home with £2.50. £2.10.
And that primary school age, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but fancy fancy a postmaster or mistress, or I can't remember who they were, passing over somebody else's pension to a primary school boy.
I know.
Yes.
But they knew
me. They obviously knew you, yeah.
Well,
exactly.
The Coombe family was better known than most in Bishop, you see. Yeah.
And this was your mother's pension, was it?
No, my grandmother's. Yeah. Yeah. It was 10 shillings a week then, in those days.
Yeah.
It all worked very well. And when I collected money, I used to walk up to the top of the village and have lunch with Auntie Grace, you see. Auntie Grace used to give me lunch. And then I could catch the early bus in the afternoon, Gourds.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, of course.
back to Newton Abbott.
Yes.
And then Dim General out to Ashburton, yeah, and then walk home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's money. But I had a day off primary school.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Could have done with a bike.
Well, yeah, this
might be
a
bike.
Well, there. Yeah. But
did you know, Jenny, did you know Molly? Oh, you didn't.
I've only been in the village 3 years, and she died.
Oh, dear.
Years.
Oh.
So know her.
Oh,
did
yeah.
You know Molly?
No, I didn't. No,
you didn't know her. And you've been.
Well, you've seen photographs of her now, haven't you? You've seen photographs of her now, yeah.
Yes, because
yes.
I did that book. Yes,
she's yeah, she's quite.
Yeah. Cherry. What can you remember? Just something about Cherry.
I don't know what she did as a job of work, because what.
Did she marry Robert?
Yes.
Yeah.
Her husband was a chief clerk on the Southern Railway. I remember him because he used to come down to Oakhampton Railway Station with Southern Railway.
Mm.
And he used to stay overnight because he might have had more than a day's work in checking their books, I suppose, whatever. And he'd stay a night with his sister-in-law, you see, my Auntie Alice, in the mill house, which is still there. I've still got one cousin living in Bishop Stainton, and she's 97.
Not in Bishop Stainton.
Hmm? Oakhampton. Oakhampton.
Yeah, Oakhampton. You've missed somebody.
No, Oakhampton.
Yeah, Oakhampton, sorry. I get mixed up. Peggy. And she was in the WAFs during the war, and she became a corporal. She was a cook, corporal cook.
Mm.
She used to wear two stripes, and she used to come to the farm and stay, like, you know. Oh, yeah. Always a bit of a favourite cousin of mine. She's that much older than me, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. What can you specially remember about Molly?
That's a trouble, isn't it?
Yes,
she,
isn't it?
She didn't do anything, did she?
I can't say that, though, can I?
No,
I
no.
Can't. No. See, we've got to have what details we can.
She was still a schoolgirl. I remember. We didn't visit a lot, you see, because Uncle Philip never drove a car.
Ah, right.
No, he couldn't drive a car. All the things he did and hard work and that, couldn't drive a car.
Did he employ people to drive his vans then?
No, he rode a bus go. Rode a bus go. And hired transport for the materials for building it. So his wife bought him a motorbike and sidecar.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, because she thought, Auntie Grace, and she thought, can't drive a car, perhaps he'd be all right with that. And he put that one into a wall and smashed it up. Intelligent man that he was and a hard worker, couldn't drive, and he couldn't learn to drive.
Did now, Molly didn't drive, did she, or Auntie Grace?
Well, no.
Auntie Grace didn't either.
No.
Philip didn't drive, so Molly didn't come and see you very often.
No,
because they couldn't get there, basically.
Well, they catch buses, you see, but time to get to the farm to be lunchtime, because they had to walk a mile and a half.
Oh,
from the last bus, nearest bus to the farm.
Goodness, right.
And
but she went on, she won the sperm prize and went on the cruises, didn't she?
Well, you tell me.
Well, she did, didn't she, Robert? You tell.
Well, that was later.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah, she these things on in the paper and that. Competitions.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And she used to do those, and she once won the weight of her cat.
Yeah, that was, yes.
That's the picture, isn't it?
Yes, that's one of them, but she didn't even
in silver.
Yeah.
So did she have a lot of cats then and things?
She always had a cat, yeah. I don't know if they'd loved the cat, but they always had a cat, you know, that I remember. I don't think they ever had a dog.
And then, she won during competition.
Cruises.
Yeah, cruises, yeah. Didn't you remember?
Hmm?
She went on cruises.
Oh, yes, yes.
She went on many cruises, a few competitions and won it.
Do you remember that picture of her? I'd got it as Molly with friends,
yeah.
And Dorrit corrected me and said it was Molly with relatives.
Was her husband, Stan,
yeah.
Was an engineer. Like he trained a bit different, but we were both engineers.
Oh.
And we could talk always, oh. You see.
Yes.
And he was such an interesting fella. Megan,
oh, I know what I wanted to ask you. Do you know anything about a little area of land that Philip bought down Forder Lane called the Nuttery? And Molly turned it into a memorial garden for him when he died?
Down
Forder Lane?
Forder.
You know, the one that goes through to the main road.
Yeah, and
not the one where the garage is, but the
no,
next one.
No, next one near St. Dimmoth.
Yeah. No, towards Newton Abbott.
Oh, Folder Lane, yes. Yeah, there is a garden there.
There's a little
wood. It was my grandfather's, originally. I've been down there with grandfather, you know, picking beans and...
Mm. So it was a Coish property to start with, then?
No, Coombe.
Coombe property. Your mother owned it, but your grandfather...
No, grandmother. I believe my grandmother owned the garden. Yeah, Porter Garden. Yes. Most important bit of the family history at the time. And I have been down there with grandfather, and it was at a slight slope. And there was a stream that ran down the side.
There is
Coombs. No, what Coombs? Grandmother's...
Daniel and what
were
we
did
Mary
Daniel
thought
we
didn't
I think she was Mary. Mary. Okay. If you're in churchyard, you could
I'll go and have a look.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, sorry to interrupt.
There's a stream.
Yeah,
at the bottom.
Yes.
Yes, there is.
And he used to till a long row of beans down through the garden, and he turned the water in to run down the row.
Right.
And go down the bottom and wait for it to get. When it got down the bottom, he'd go back up and turn it off, like, you know, with a shovel, like, you know.
So that
off.
Wasn't wooded at the time that your grandma had it?
No, I don't think
it was just like a field, like a plot of land.
Well, garden, but it may have been apple trees.
Ah, was it? I wonder.
I think so. But it was used mainly for vegetables, but probably. They might have sold stuff in the shop, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they had.
Was Molly into flower gardening rather than vegetable gardening?
No, both.
Both?
Both, yeah. And she had a greenhouse.
Oh, right, did she?
Yeah,
what did she grow in the greenhouse?
Well, tomatoes and whatever, you know.
Yeah.
That was in Uncle Philip's time. It's still down by the main road,
yeah.
You know.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, it's difficult to make up a story about Molly, because I have been thinking about it, because she never did anything.
Mm.
I mean, that illness during the end of her school days checked her whole life, really.
Because when you see photos of her, she was very attractive.
Oh, yes,
she was. You would have thought she would have had one or two suitors coming around.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
you know.
Yes.
I'd have really gone inside the gate.
I'm aware that we should be making tracks.
Yes.
And give you a break here. Give you a rest.
Thank you very much.
But thank you ever so much.
I was trying to think of some silly things about Molly, but...
Well, if they come to mind, you've got my
telephone. Just give me
a ring and I can bring always pop back.
A one-line thing, like, you know, yeah, if you just... If I thought it was possible, well, writing it in